Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Re-enter this gospel scene. Actually, you already have, whether you realize it or not. Through your cell memories and heart feelings, you do resurrect moments when you had hopes way up there, and then the crash. Maybe you have experienced a life-altering event. The unexpected can cause disappointment, and maybe even a lingering sadness. In this gospel, it was lingering sadness the two friends experienced as they walked away from Jerusalem, talking about a failure. The future they had placed on the shoulders of a young Messiah was over. Jesus had suffered and died on the cross. They had thought Jesus would rescue them from their desperate lives and save them. And Jesus would, but not how we or they expected. So events happen to us, and we think a dead end has occurred. We can feel hopelessness and sorrow. These two disciples can represent our emotions. They were struggling with how to live, fearful of the future. We wonder what our future will look like and how to adjust to the loss of life events. There will be no senior proms or graduations. This year there will be weddings that have been postponed. Funerals have been delayed. Milestones and birthdays are now celebrated from a distance. Car caravans drive by the homes of loved ones with balloons and signs waving and shouting their love. Visits are best outside or in the backyard with the proper social distancing, of course. A neighbor of mine a few houses up has a huge banner stretched across the top of their garage. It reads, "I can't wait to hug you someday. Hashtag together while apart." So we struggle in this season of restrictions and disappointments. How do we handle our losses? Sometimes the way out is to let it out, to talk about it. And so we heard, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. He asked what they were talking about, and they poured their hearts out to him. Matching their strides, Jesus revealed his heart. But Jesus did not offer easy words of comfort. Instead, he said how slow of heart they were. Yet, being the healer of our souls, Jesus engaged their minds as well as their hearts. He honored them by challenging them. They had not held on to the prophecies, the scripture passages of suffering, revelation, and hope about him. But Jesus knew their turmoil, and Jesus knows ours too. Let this sink in. Jesus knows what it means to be human. He knows suffering, death, and the tomb. But the risen Jesus had the disciples face the very issue that caused their disillusionment. They had not believed the women at the tomb that Jesus was alive. They did not let a resurrection message break through their downcast hearts. How many times have we done that? How many times have we chosen to live downcast and not seek the power of the spiritual world around us and in us? Death and dead ends are not the end. What Jesus revealed began a shift in their hearts and continues in our hearts. The power of the heart is in all three readings today. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard Peter preach about Jesus and they were cut to the heart. In our second reading, we hear these new believers embraced a new way of life to love one another deeply from the heart. God's invisible grace affects the heart. So the disciples strongly urge Jesus to stay with them, have dinner with them, keep talking, Jesus, don't stop. And then their hearts burst open when Jesus took bread, blessed, broke, and gave it to them. The invisible became visible, and then became invisible, and then Jesus vanished. Overwhelmed, they could only say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us?" They had experienced the words of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. This same Jesus is available to us in exactly the same way. Jesus cradles our hearts and opens us to the truth of who we are and how much more we can be. You have lived this gospel story more than you realize. The presence of Jesus overcomes death and disillusionment. You have been invited to this new vision. The two disciples allow Jesus to tell his story. Do the same. Pray and live as honestly and as openly as you can. So the pivotal moment came when the disciples invited Jesus to spend time with them. Do the same. Trust the invisible power of the resurrected presence of Jesus right where you are. Jesus is alive now. Let your hearts burn within you. Pray for a stronger heart and spirit. Our world needs us. So for our anthem this morning, I ask Jeannie to sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." I'm going to read the words of that song. Let them become a prayer for you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, 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 I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you, Jesus. In all those moments of grace when your power and love blesses us to serve and be present. When your power and love is doing more than I could ask for or even imagine. With these gospel companions, help us recognize that you are always walking with us, especially in our loneliest and saddest moments. Help us to know that spiritually seeing you is not restricted by our earthly vision, but comes from the eyes of our hearts. So I share a true story about seeing and being. As a baby of 19 months, Helen Keller suffered an illness that left her deaf and blind. Unable to communicate, she grew up filled with frustration and rage. But her parents sought help, and the help they found came from a young woman, Anne Sullivan. Anne worked with Helen and helped her to learn a new language through touch. Their breakthrough story is famous. Anne poured water over Helen's hands and then touched Helen's hands in a pattern that was supposed to mean water. All of a sudden, Helen got it. Realized for the first time that it would be possible for her to learn words, to communicate. Helen Keller went on to become a world-famous speaker and writer. She lived a long life and inspired several generations with her accomplishments. But listen to what Helen had to say about her accomplishments. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. Hidden or seen, the power and love of God can bless and transform the smallest task, the smallest service for someone else. That is the power of now. So I invite you to see the invisible in the visible, because the grace of God is present. May you open the eyes of your hearts to look for the big picture in all of life, especially in your disappointments, especially now when our ability to be outside, out there, is so limited. But Jesus is walking with us, in fact, carrying us, in fact, using us. That is why there is only one set of footprints. Amen.